Welcome to the Wrestling Show. I'm Catman from the Latest Mafia Podcast, along with Mr. Dirty Sheets himself, Billy Body.
Yo.
I was going to start calling you Billy Bats. I don't know why, but it's a mafia-ish stuff.
It's Bill Barty.
Every time, Fausti always texts me, he goes, Bill Body was on the show today. Jesus Christ. I'm like, you got to tell them. Say, what the hell is this?
I don't mind it. It's virtually the same thing. If people don't know it. Yeah, I mean, if people don't attach it to the banning of Twitter and certain things from the past, then it's probably better, I guess.
Yeah, you kind of got to regrow after you were abolished by everything. So we're going to give you rundown of everything that happened this last Friday for SmackDown, into Raw yesterday, and little news tidbits about this Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome shows, and also the upcoming card for SummerSlam. There's a lot of interesting stuff.
So you're pacing this out, so you got to save like 15 minutes at the end for me to go through SummerSlam.
Yeah, all right, then let's start going. And we won't have any nonsense along the way. We'll roll, okay? So we think. Right off the bat with SmackDown, you get that retribution bullshit because Big E against Morrison, and then they get jumped right off the bat.
Oh.
I say, okay, the steel cage has jumped Morrison and Big E. And it's like, all right, we have a chick in there. She gets in. They can't beat her up, so everyone else shows up while they're distracted, so they get them. I do find, as a whole, SmackDown, like I've always said, and I'll fucking yell it all the time, SmackDown's a better show. I'd rather have a SmackDown on Monday and have that be what Raw is. I think it's a better show. I think they have better stories, all that stuff. Battle Royal. All three brands for the women, and this is to see who gets to have a title shot against Bayley. And gets down to Asuka and Shayna, which I start thinking, oh, is Shayna a good guy now?
Yeah, I mean, I like that for two shows now, so.
Yeah, and you know, she's involved with Nia later on Raw, so I'm like, oh, okay. They're the final two, and Asuka, actually, I wonder how much Triple H had to beg Vince to let Shayna do well, because as we know, he shits on her.
Yeah, they just don't know what to do with her, though. That's the thing. They have no idea what to do with her. She's just all over. She's been all over the place since, even when she came in. Even when she came in, she was going to win the Rumble, and she didn't win the Rumble. It's been like such a weird year where they don't know what they have and don't know what to do with it. So this was a really easy person to book, and it's just worrying because if you make making these mistakes with someone who's very obviously just a shoot fire that wins with, you know, a few knockout wins and submissions and things and goes on a streak, then I don't know what to say about you, because you've got to put this WWE spin and personality on everyone. And even with Aleister Black, who we didn't like, he's now off TV because Vince feels that he's not wholly markable to every person. So I don't know what he's going to come back as.
It is interesting that he's just gone. And he was like, he was an unstoppable, never could lose anything. And now they wiped him the fuck out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Heyman was going to keep him the same, and he was going to go all the way to main. I can't believe that somebody.
Oh my God.
imagine being in a meeting and you're there with the head writer, and he says, so this is my plan for you. I'm going to get you and Drew to Mania. I'm saving that match because you guys have done it before on the indies, and we think we're going to build it all the way to Mania. None of you guys are going to lose. So he's sitting there. He knows that. And then fucking a different guy comes in off a podcast, and and he comes in and he's like, nah, this guy looks dirty. I'm just going to...
He does.
Let's just make him lose and then take him off TV to have a wash.
We say Asuka wins this battle royal. And so after that, as we said, right after the haircut thing, I said, I bet you this goes to hair versus hair at SummerSlam. And it is hair versus hair at SummerSlam. Mandy issues the challenge to Sonya. We almost didn't have this match, though, Billy. Because Sonya was almost kidnapped.
Yeah.
And I mean, the biggest question about that, you know, to be very serious, the biggest question I have about this is, why Sonya? If you're going to do this, what are you doing?
You know, that was the thing that I was going to do. Why Sonya?
Because I'd take the heat off you for a minute and say it myself.
I mean, she's not, I mean, once you've got her, like, kidnapped and stuff, she's not even going to be able to, like, satisfy you. She doesn't know what to do with a dick. I mean,
I don't know if someone's kidnapped, they're going to satisfy you. I don't think they're trying to do anything at that point.
Eventually, I think that, like, the goal is to, like, to get them trained. And
oh, you think that's where it goes in their heads? See, all I think in my heads is, the main, like, that they're going to tie them up, that they're going to rape them for hours, and possibly kill them afterwards, because that's what a fucking whack job fucking does. So,
even on that level, it's, I mean, okay.
And you know, she was with the girlfriend, as they said, her and her company or whatever, Fleet, the girlfriend. But it's just fucking weird. I mean, somebody, I saw like his Twitter before they took it down, and it was, you know, it was just everything fucking Sonya, where you're like, man, what a fucking weirdo. And I think things like, maybe they're going to stop doing shit like where Mandy is constantly, you know, they live their lives and they post in their house and, you know, with their parents and all around the place. And people that are fucking goofy will look up where the fuck they are and try to find that house and do shit. And it's like, maybe don't post, like,
addresses are online, Kev.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I had a bit on my show where I was going to give Goosecock the phone number of somebody because I'm listening to Graves with Lita. And she says, oh, yeah, you know, I'm playing tennis. I live in San Francisco. And I go, I wonder where she lives in San Francisco. I'm always in San Francisco. I wonder if I've driven past her, you know. And I'm like, where the fuck is tennis courts? I just typed in her fucking name to Google. And it had the address and her phone number. And I'm like, okay, it said Amy C. Dumas. And I go, I wonder if this is the same one. Who the fuck knows? And then I look her up to see about the middle name. And it was her. It's a C. And I'm like, this is fucking insane.
It's the one right now. You know who lives at 4332 Homestead Drive, Gainesville, Georgia, 30506?
I would think AJ.
He does.
Jesus Christ.
He lives at Homestead Drive, Gainesville, Georgia.
Man. That's fucking crazy shit. So
he's got his fan mail set up to that. Who's at home address?
Really?
Well, that's it. Says if you could Google it. It says if you'd like to write. It says contact AJ Styles. It says you can write to AJ Styles at his home address.
That is fucking, you know, and for other sports is normal. For fucking wrestling fans, you don't want to do wrestling. Wrestling fans are fucking wackos.
And the thing is also is that when a lot of these, they're independent contractors, so they set themselves up as a business. So it'll be like, I don't know, like Drew McIntyre Inc. or Randy Orton Incorporated or whatever. And it's the same thing.
Dead Man Inc.
Yeah, just realized. They set that up, and sometimes the business address will be the home address. But the guys that are a little bit smarter, they'll buy a P.O. box. But
yeah.
But with P.O. box, it's still going to be quite close. Like, you're at least going to get...
They're around the block.
The zip. Yeah, you're going to be around about. Yeah. You're going to be close. You can hang out around there and still find them.
Because I always think the same thing. Like, Lana, because they're in, like, Nashville, it's not an enormous... But it's like, you probably will run into them at the grocery store. You know, where they're, because they're always, they show where they're at and shit. It's like,
Around the performance center, you'll run into around about 60, 70 employees who I know all live within 20 miles because they use it a lot. And just because when they're relocating, they're advised to be close to there before or a lot of stuff that they'll be shooting, media room meetings, etc. I mean, Drew lives near the performance center, a couple of hours away.
A couple hours?
Yeah.
It's not that close.
Not that close, but I mean that's partly down to where he lived in the first. But when they were like training, when they were originally in Tampa, and then they moved it to Orlando, so he didn't relocate from Tampa. Sheamus and Drew both like an hour, two hours to an hour and a half away.
Yeah, that's not terribly fucking close. That's one of those where you're not going to really find somebody if you're around the performance center looking for their home. Okay, so we're going to have that hair versus hair. And, you know, the little rumor you told me about SummerSlam, may I say, about unpredictability kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
So if they're trying to do everything very unpredictable, all the winners and shit like that, for the most part, do you think there is a chance in hell Mandy gets her head shaved? They can't.
No, I think they basically have gone down the route of saying, hey, lesbians do this.
That's what I think.
Some lesbians look like this. So,
you know,
I think it's
her, Sonya with the butch cut or short hair, spiky, something like this. I could see it. That'll be fine. She has to get to that stage first, however. And before that will be a bald head with that fucking horn in the middle of her face called a nose. You imagine what this is going to fucking look like.
I reckon she's going to end up having the dyke hawk, you know.
Oh, this is going to be, this is going to be fucking rough.
The hawk thing they have, like, you know.
What, the mohawk?
Yeah, the dyke hawk. Yeah.
Is that what you think? I'm thinking buzzed back and sides. And spiky-ish hair, and until it grows a little longer, then she'll have like that Pat Benatar look.
I wonder if maybe they don't get through the haircut, and then this leads to like the next feud or something, whether somebody will come down, and she'll have short hair, but not a bald head. I mean, it's got to be bald. I mean, everybody.
That's crazy.
Historically, other than like Jeff Jarrett
who got a haircut.
SummerSlam 98 from X-Pac, he got like a trim. He got the trim.
Yeah, they go, let's trim your fucking hair. I mean, yeah, at least I don't
you
even think
you'd
have
it,
to
right?
go
that,
to the.
That's on your reviews.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I watched it, and I giggled because that's the notes, you know. Jeff Jarrett got a nice haircut. How would you like this, sir? But I could see them at least like chop it where it's fucked up, chopped, you know, way fucking short. But you don't need to fucking get to the scalp for me to be satisfied. If you chopped the shit out of it and it was like lopsided and fucked up and everything, that's fine. Because that means she has to chop her fucking hair off anyway. But to get fucking bald with that kisser, that's going to be something. But I don't know. I think
somewhere in my brain, I think I've retained every pay-per-view I've watched, and it's such a waste of
space.
I could be using that with like scientific and geographical knowledge of capitals of this place and that this kind of shit. I mean, I know a lot of that stuff anyway, but I still feel there's information that especially scientific stuff that I could be
having.
Or political history or something.
I used to have that, and I was proud at the time. Now I think I'm more proud because I have forgotten practically everything, and everything is new. Like, I was watching these SummerSlams, and I fucking forgot finish, and I go, I totally thought, like, the opposite person won half these matches. And it was a new show to me.
I don't think I'd get one wrong. If you chuck me out like five that surprised you, I think I'd get them right.
I think we might do that as a special next week. I'm going to fucking fire out five matches and see if you could, from SummerSlam, since we're in SummerSlam season. And I'll grab maybe 10 different matches, and I'll say, what was the finish to it? See if you could nail it.
Oh, the finish?
Yeah, we're going to get even crazier because you can. That's what's sick about it. I don't even think that's a stretch. I won't
X-Pac Jarrett, I don't know the finish. I would imagine it was some the X-Factor or something like that, just straight up. But
Let's get on with this because we're already fucking behind. So AJ, this was interesting to me. AJ with his piss system. I guess one of the S's is the system, but his piss board.
Piss abyss.
With I forgot what they've seen. This is how bad I was. I was like, what the fuck was that? His Abyss's name, Abyss's brother's name. Because I remember Chris Abyss. That's all I remembered.
And Joseph. He was calling him Joseph.
He did. He called him Joseph Park. And I go, oh, fuck, that was his name. Because I was like, I was shocked they actually used his fucking
But is that
team?
His permanent manager now? Because I know they're trying to get all these managers on TV where they can.
Who the fuck know? I laugh, though, because he's always good with that fucking goofy face and everything, which it's like, how the hell was this guy some crazy hardcore fucking monster? And he's, you know, just a goofy guy. And but anytime I think about this guy, I think that he didn't have the fucking balls and he was afraid to fucking go to Mania against Undertaker. And that's why he never came over. That they wanted him against Undertaker and he pushed out because he wasn't ready and he was scared to do it. Like, he didn't think he could fucking match the moment. And I'm like, what a fucking puss. That's all I go, you have that moment and you don't seize it? And you're like, no, I'll just stay in TNA. That's fucking, it's not even just a shit match. It's the fucking Undertaker.
Sting's the same. Sting turned down The Rock at WrestleMania 21. And it led to The Rock not getting The Rock had 1 year without a deal in the WWE because they didn't have a match for him at WrestleMania 21. And then Sting had another chance to come in and work with The Undertaker at when they were stuck for something for 25.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't come in for 25 either. So, and now he's like crying at like 70 years old and saying, I want that Undertaker. I still want the Undertaker match. It's like, yeah, but you both look like shit, and especially Sting with that bald head. And I can tell you, like, some bald head on bald heads, as we learned this week, like, not look good. But we'll get to that.
We will get to that because I think that was the most stunning thing of Raw. Okay, Corbin attacks Riddle because he's distracted by old Shorty G. Shorty G apologizes, and it's a distraction. But he looks like he's, you know, he's torn. He doesn't know whether to be a bad guy or a good guy. Now, Bliss having a sit-down interview about how it was to be kidnapped. See, the Fiend didn't butt-fuck her and tie her up. He just had her, like, kidnapped, and she wore the same outfit and had her makeup done and everything like that. I guess she just must have stunk like a fucking... You know, she must have been stuck together like a day-old grilled cheese sandwich. But they say, oh, was there... Did you have feeling? Could it have been romantic with you and Braun? And she does her best acting by, like, pretty much saying she wanted to fuck Braun. And they could have had a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. She would have been split in half if that was the case. You imagine the size of Braun compared to her? She would have been fucking split like a piece of wood.
Let me imagine it.
Okay, go ahead. You want a time to beat off?
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
I'm like, she gonna bleed in the beginning. Jesus Christ.
But then he might have that, like, bodybuilder dick. Might even have.
I mean, just being proportionate, he's got to be fucking more than she could fucking handle. Her body size.
But if she's spinning on bodybuilder dick, it all just evens out. That looks fine.
You imagine he's 5 inches and he's fucking nearly 7 foot tall.
That's the thing. I don't know the correlation between height and dick. I can't imagine it correlates. I can imagine, yeah, like,
it has to. I think for the most part, people are proportionate.
Because 5 inch dick on 7 foot man, it's going to look bad.
It is.
But I think that could be the case, especially if you do drugs.
And if you're 5'5" with a fucking 5 inch dick, it's normal. Right. So,
but if you're 5'8" with a 9 inch dick, yeah, then it looks good.
Yeah, then you look like a monster. That's why you always have to trim your bush so you look bigger. There's always tricks of the trade.
But I don't think height and that correlate 100% like that. I think they will. I think you'll be seeing some real like baby dick jobs, and they're probably not even that small. It's probably like a normal size 6-inch dick on a, you know, on a.
See, if Braun was 6 inches at his fucking height, he would look tiny.
Who's the one that had the big dick?
Lashley.
Yeah, but what did Batista have? Did he have some, or did he have a?
They don't say. I think they just go into that joke of how big is Batista's dick, and I don't think there's anything behind that. Right. I don't think there's a story like someone saw it. It's we know he's run through a lot of the women in the locker room, like Melina and shit like that.
We've seen that one where Cena's got that little erection in the jean shorts coming out during a match.
I don't know about that. I think Mr. Perfect's had hard-ons before. I think we've seen that, which is odd because I don't know how that's fucking possible unless you're a gay guy.
Because erections are not not singly associated to sex.
True.
They're associated to excitement and adrenaline.
And also, I think the age of the person would fucking help because I think at 18 or so, I might have gotten a fucking hard-on doing nothing. You know, you walking, you get a fucking hard-on. Nowadays, you get
all day at school. I was
all day.
Fucking him in all the time.
I used to wear a fanny pack to hide that shit. I'm like fucking constantly with a fucking hard on. So Bliss said she was going to fuck him practically. That she was all into him. Okay, sure. All of a sudden, we haven't seen them together in fucking how long. We get Big E and Morrison again. They finish this match off and Big E gets his... continuing his little push, which I worry because he should be more of a contender. And I get him showing his personality because that sells him. But it's, I don't know. He's almost got to calm the fuck down a little bit.
I hated it when he was at the start of SmackDown and he was talking about his titles and he had an opportunity. And I thought, right, you can actually reset here a little bit, at least scale it back. And then he started doing the goofy. Then he started doing the goofy shit and the dancing and all that. And it's like that character's never going to be serious. Never going to be serious at all.
And using the New Day musical, and it's all that kind of shit.
It's lazy too. It's I don't just blame him. I know we know how lazy they are too.
Mm-hmm. To finish off SmackDown, I really enjoyed this. I was interested in it, and it's great because this is the kind of stuff I'm not embarrassed by, because the girlfriend will walk by or see this flipping channels, like, because I don't watch it live on Friday, which I should watch this live on Friday and not Raw. The only reason now I'm watching Raw, I think, live, I would have switched it around, is because we do the show right afterwards, practically, 4 a.m. for me. So otherwise I'm way more, I enjoy SmackDown 100 times more. Yeah, by far, I'm fucking yelling it from the rooftops. But Braun in the fucking ring, all of a sudden he's bald-headed, which me and you talked yesterday and said how much they ruined this, because they could have had the Fiend fucking cut his fucking hair and do shit to him. But no, he shows up fucking bald out of nowhere, and they go, oh, the new look, Braun Strowman. And it's funny because as I'm not watching this live, like, watching something on demand and then it pops to normal TV and you don't see it, and all I do is I heard that and I'm like, what the fuck, new look Braun Strowman? And I fucking got off to see it because I see his beard right away, and I was like first thinking he shaved his fucking beard off, but I'm like, he fucking shaved his head. I'm like, this is, there's no explanation, no nothing, it's just he has a head shave. So he's yelling that he's gonna kill the Fiend and he wants him and this and that, and we get Bliss to show up. So Bliss has to snap, like, she's upset. And the first thing I thought during her stupid interview before this, where they're like, how did it feel, where he said he didn't care about you and who cares, you know, when he Fiend had it, I'm like, there is the easiest excuse and way out of this to be the good guy still.
He's protecting me.
Exactly. It's, yeah. If he says he cares, please don't do anything. You're fucking dead. If you go, I don't give a fuck, you want to throw the Fiend off the course so he doesn't fucking take it out on her. It's the stupidest thing ever. And I don't think they're even going to fucking do that after this. I don't think that's where it's going at all. And it's great that you had the same exact thought. It's like, it's fucking, that's so
well,
it's easy.
It's not great because it's obvious.
It is. But
yeah.
they could have fucking done logical shit. Bliss is in the ring yelling at him, which they superimpose the slap sound because when you slap a guy with a big juicy beard, it's not going to make a slap noise. So they superimpose her slapping him.
Stupid fucking egghead.
She says, squat down so I can slap you on top of your head because she can't reach him. So she's slapping the shit out of him. And I do like the fact that, like, he's lost his mind from all this. Like, it's drove him over the fucking edge having to fight Bray. So he picks her up and he does it like a gentleman because he doesn't do the disappearing finger act when he picks her up, if you notice. And she goes gymnast style and locks her legs and all that kind of shit and makes herself stiff. And calling out the Fiend. And then he drops her, which I'm like, you think they had a crash mat when he drops her? Because I don't know why they would. She gets dropped to the regular mat like she would if she jumped off the fucking top rope. But they cut the lights out so we don't see her hit.
So, what I mean, are they attributing this to the Fiend or the Rebellion group? Rebellion.
Oh, I'm thinking this is Fiend. See, that's a good question because we wouldn't know the difference. I'm taking the Fiend, but all of a sudden now Braun has superpowers because he drops Alexa in the middle of the ring. The lights go out, and now it's the Fiend standing over Alexa in the ring like he's her protector.
Yeah, that's exactly what I put down. I mean, this was so stupid. Is that the lake of superpowers that they were fighting in? Like, it was just,
they're in the Jeff Hardy lake.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. Like, it's just now we've got Braun's got superpowers and Bray's got superpowers and Karrion Kross has superpowers because he did something similar as well. Where him and Scarlett keep disappearing up the ramp. So stupid. Like, it's just too many people. And even AEW do that shit all that time where they turn the lights out and someone's in a ring. So Cody has the superpowers too. And it's just too dumb with these superpowers. And this was another guy who had it. And there's no need for it, is there?
No, not really. I don't. You should leave it be special with certain people. So all of a sudden then Braun's on the Titantron just fucking laughing like a maniac while our good guy, the Fiend, is in the ring protecting Alexa Bliss. And that's how we go off.
I was confused like whether we'd seen a double turn here or at least the seeds of one that will get finished on Sunday.
Yeah, because we're not sure if Alexa is actually with Bray with Braun. Bray Braun, they're too similar, with Braun to fuck over Fiend and they're both bad guys together, or does Alexa fuck over Braun and it's the Fiend that's the fucking good? As they say, you'll never see it coming. I don't know.
Well, that's another thing as well, whether that is relation to this match or the other title match, but I think it's definitely down to one of them. But we'll move over to
Raw now.
I did not like SmackDown. I didn't even like the end. I don't understand why Jeff and AJ doing a match next week. I assume it's just to get this Thunderdome, Thunderclap bullshit, some more exposure so they actually have shit on the show. But all in all, I thought it was pretty hard to watch again for the second week. And the week before, it was saved by the Bray stuff, where he came down to the ring and everything. But this week, it was even that was stupid because they've made that confusing. And they're building towards a double turn. As I said to you on the phone call that we had this week, that would be a case of we're going with Fiend as the top babyface because we called up Roman and said, we're moving to this new building. And what's your situation on coming back? And he has turned around and said,
Fuck off.
The world is normal, when everything is normal, then I'll consider coming back to work. And we're nowhere near normal.
I'll see you in years.
Yeah.
On the good side, the Kansas City Chiefs have announced they will have fans from game one. How about that? 25% full, which is very easy for every. I think every sixth seat, line them up all fucking zigzagged, leave a fucking row behind you empty. You could fucking fill quite a bit of people if you did that, at the fucking least. And tell people, okay, now then you're forced to wear a mask. Okay, if I want to go to a game, I have to wear a mask. Great. In the wintertime, you'll want to wear a fucking mask. We
got bands returning to soccer stadiums here, too.
Are they?
In October,
right? Yeah. Well, you guys have things more under control than us morons over here. That you tell us not to do something, we have to do it. That's the rules. Oh, I can't do this? Oh, let me go crazy. Because they're fucking assholes. All right, we're in Raw. And right off the bat, they start off with the whole Antifa movement over here. And the fucking steel cage getting involved with the graphics and messing it up.
One of these guys is meant to be like Dijakovic. I can't see anyone that's big enough for him. So which makes me think that they are...
Wasn't there one like in the control room in the beginning? Because, well, Drew starts talking in the ring pretty much to start the show off, and the graphics keep on changing, the cameras keep on changing, and you know, they do all that shit, and all of a sudden we're in the control room with them fucking up the controls. And I saw a guy in there that looked, and I said, oh, they must have heard everybody laughing at them, and now they shoved the big guy in this outfit, because there was one guy from behind and he was large.
Well, one of them was 100% like DJ Z from...
Oh, shit.
Because you can hear his voice. Like, he's the one that came up to the camera, and there's no way...
Oh, that's funny.
That he's going to be one of them, because he's a guy from TNA who's also in the Pablo Escobar firm. What, Pablo Escobar? Not Pablo Escobar, that's someone else.
El Chapo? Who?
Escobar. Santos Escobar.
Oh, is there a fucking actual... someone in TNA named this?
No, Santos Escobar's in WWE. He's a cruiserweight champion.
Oh, really? See, that gives me how much I have no fucking... I've never even heard of him.
You don't NXT, that's why.
No, which is sad, because NXT is the better show. But I watch all the takeovers, and I don't even know how, because I wouldn't know a storyline. But they give you a background.
Santos Escobar was a guy, he was under a mask. He fought Drake Maverick in the final. And then he turned heel and turned out to be Escobar. And he's in this group with these two guys that were kidnapping him, were the kidnappers. And one of them was DJ Z. So,
oh, that's funny.
But it's not great. It was a good turn initially. Like, it was a good story, but it's not important.
I'm just glad they kept Drake Maverick. And he did a really good job then. If you look at his acting chops, he's fucking crying on his Instagram. All that shit? That's not an easy thing that he did. To pretend he got fucking fired, I guess. The Hurt Business in the ring. Do you notice the weird camera cuts in this? And I don't think it had to do with the Rebellion.
Well, I missed a point here about how bad it was and how unnecessary it was to cut your main event promo. Like, this is a go-home promo for the main event, which Drew's trying to cut here and didn't get to finish it. There was so much other stuff on the show that could have been interrupted by these guys. But when you're opening up with that promo, which is the go-home promo, it's traditional. It's your traditional promo that the babyface cuts before the last pay-per-view. And especially with this is the only decent built-up match that Drew's had in his entire run and didn't get cut the promo. It makes him look so bad.
I heard the next Drew's main event was going to be him versus Tozawa. That was his next opponent.
Drew has not been booked well at all in the last 6 weeks. From being stuck with Ziggler to this entire Orton feud, which is solely focused on Orton, it's not been good. And this was like the tip of the iceberg for me.
So did you notice the weird camera cuts and, like, I don't know if their camera wasn't even working, the main, like, zoom-in camera, because they had the big wide camera shot the whole time, and then they, like, zoomed in, and it was like they were on camera as they zoomed in, and the ringside cameraman, like, they turned his camera on when he, like, got into place, so you're seeing him do that, and then when Cruz comes out, the cameraman's like jogging to the fucking position to fucking get him on camera. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And it wasn't that fucking rebellion bullshit or whatever.
I didn't notice it. I just...
Oh, it stuck out so much to me.
I'm looking forward to the Hurt Business being out of this situation where they're
out of business.
Well, just tied to these like jobbers. Like they shouldn't be tied to these guys. I mean, they've damaged Ricochet and Cedric beyond belief, beyond repair as well. And Apollo's just not credible with the whole laughing and everything. Like he needs to get this belt off him. And I think we saw signs on his show with the way Lashley went through everybody and the gauntlet that. He'll end up with a belt probably at Payback, I would think, after SummerSlam.
Kyle Lashley wasn't the first real black champion. It's fucking amazing to me. The guy's a fucking monster, and they don't have shit for him. That's right.
Well, it's The Rock. That's what Kofi was trying to say.
Oh, that is true. He is the first. Not pure. He's not a purebred, so it doesn't count.
No, that's okay. There's no such thing as pure. He said something about him being the first black champion is offensive.
That is funny that they just fucking gloss over that Rock was like enormous and fucking champion multiple times, and they're like, no minorities get a chance. They're like, should we bring up Rock? I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, he's their lover, for God's sake. Vince jerks off with the fucking Rock.
I mean, The Rock could phone him up tomorrow and say, I'm going to be at SummerSlam and I've got 6 months without filming.
And I want to be in the main event with champion. They would do it immediately because he gets publicity. So Cruz says he wants a match with Shelton. And if he wins, the other two, Shelton and Lashley, can't be ringside for the match with MVP at SummerSlam. So, of course, he gets it and wins because, I don't know, they're trying to do something with Shelton, but it's still not believable. It doesn't matter to me that Shelton is even there. Demi's from that Bachelor. I told you what this brought. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I really don't know if she's signed. Can you find this out for me?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea.
I think she has to be. She's there every fucking time.
She's not adding that much to it, though, is she?
No, but they could. And I think she's going to take the place of Kelly Kelly in that locker room, by the way, from what I know of her.
Well, it looks like she already has. I mean, apparently she's fucking into one of the Viking Raiders, and she likes black dick, too, and Mexican dick. So she likes all the dicks, and it doesn't, and all shapes and sizes of guys as well. So I mean, there's no one she's not going to say no to. I just don't understand how.
And what was on her teeth? Does she have like diamonds on her fucking teeth? It was driving me crazy. I'm like, what the fuck is on her teeth?
She can't act.
No, I mean, listen, she was on The Bachelor. What are you gonna do?
But I fucking hated all of this. This whole thing was a fucking embarrassment. So they do the thing where Dawkins is on the screen.
Yeah.
He's all joking around and Joe's joking around. And the whole thing was built up as if they caught...
Garza.
Oh,
fuck,
as they caught Garza dressing up in fucking women's panties or something. Like,
yeah,
you know,
like he was... And I said, I go, well, he is a Garza after all. But yeah, I thought it was going to be him butt fucking a guy.
And then Dawkins is all joking about it. And then when they reveal it, he's all mad. It's like, you stupid prick. You were there, like, teasing it and joking about it and everything and not showing any kind of anger at all. And then it ended up being something that made you pissed off where your guy got food poisoned. Oh, like, what does that take? That takes out fucking children for like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big fucking deal. And it ends up being Zelina that did it. And then they get all mad. It's like, well, everybody was joking around before. And the fucking bimbo next to you was joking around. And as I said, she's gone from Viking to Mexican to black, like over the course of like 2 weeks. So she don't give a fuck. Or at least that's how she's portrayed. Or she doesn't even care how she's portrayed because she's actually is a whore. and she's just one of the, you know, she, I think she more would come in, and she seems more like she would come in and replace the Bellas, because I know Kelly Kelly did it, but I think she just did it because I think there was a difference. I think Kelly Kelly just liked sex, whereas
I think Kelly fell in love with everyone,
or either that, but I think the Bellas like tactically fucked people. I feel like they were fucking all the celebrities that used to come in as the guest hosts. I feel like they would send the Bellas to their
to the room on Monday. Yeah. I need to send the whore to my room.
Well, that's what they made it look like on TV.
Oh, they came out and danced with every fucking guy that was singing. I told you, they fucking blowing CeeLo, all that shit.
When the women, pre-women's revolution was the best way that women were used.
So this is my favorite right here. Mickey versus Natty. Because we had this build-up about Lana being with Natty. And this is their thing, right? And Mickey James with a comeback. They fucking ignore the entire match because Seth is talking to Joe at the fucking booth. They don't even fucking bother. Like, there, it's in the background.
They didn't even show the entrances cut.
No, there was none. They were in the ring. I'm like, oh, this is fucking fantastic. I go, these two are in the ring, and they don't even care. It's a count out. Mickey James gets counted out on her return. And Lana actually takes a fucking bump, and they barely acknowledge it because they're just busy talking to Seth. Seth is asking, how does Joe know that Mysterio is on his way? I'm like, holy shit. And you almost see Lana's asshole, by the way, when she falls over.
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't notice that.
Oh, yeah. Take a look. Her dress goes all the way up. Sasha and Bayley versus Asuka and Shayna. And Nia shows up. Now, here's a point. Kalisto, by the way, who was on SmackDown that we didn't talk about because we had mentioned the week before, where the fuck is Kalisto? So he's out with a quote-unquote shoulder injury. I don't know if it's a COVID injury or if it's a shoulder injury. He uses that amount of time off to get completely ripped. Full fucking washboard abs, cut like a motherfucker. Nia has time off, and she gains 50 pounds.
Yeah, I don't know how he... I don't know how he got that ripped in that time. I don't know what people are doing during this.
Especially with a shoulder injury. I can understand dieting. I don't know how you're working out.
You need to do both.
Kinda. And if your shoulder is rehabbing, you're not sure as fuck not lifting any weights.
I'm looking at Mickey. I'm watching the Mickey thing back now. I've got it on there.
At the end, when she gets kicked in the face, because I guess that's the thing. Like, Lana's going to be like posting on Instagram. That's the gimmick, because they're always posting. So maybe that's their gimmick, because they're holding the opponent and she's taking pictures and recording. And so she records Mickey at the end while she lost and she's talking shit to her. And then Mickey Roundhouse kicks her and she curls up and her asshole is exposed.
Mickey's nearly 50. Look at her.
Yeah, not bad, right?
Mm.
I was like, where the fuck was she? Was she let go and brought back, or was she just not used?
I think she was injured, but yeah. Mm.
So, Nia shows up and starts beating on Shayna, but eventually, bad guys win this. Shayna actually taps out Bayley. So that's that whole setup, you know, the bad guys, good guys. Cruz has to pick his tag team partner, and he goes to the three, Ricochet, Cedric the Entertainer, and Mustafa Ali. And did I say Mustafa twice? It was Ali, Ricochet, and Cedric the Entertainer. That's who it is. And
have you seen this guy on the from one of the Performance Center trainees who has this red mask, right? But it's like, yes. It's not like
is it a cloth. Smiley?
Yeah, it's like Carnage. It looks like Carnage from Marvel, but it isn't. But it's like plasticky. It goes around. He's like, I want to get that. Where do you find that? Is there anywhere selling like good versions of these masks? Because I would wear one if they were good. If they were cool.
I don't have a clue. I'm sure you could just type in fucking face.
You're good at
with
finding.
Mouth on it.
Well, no, you can't. You can't. I can't. You can't do it. I've done all those searches, but. But yeah, because you found those belts from Pakistan.
Yeah, which my
IC title comes today from Pakistan, baby. Finally get it. I can't wait to come home tonight and get my belt with the red logo on the fucking WWF. So here is the creeping into Cedric the Entertainer becoming a bad guy, because he's overlooked again, and Cruz doesn't want him in the match, and he picks the other two guys instead. Because later we get MVP sitting down with Cedric and trying to court him. And I'm like, okay, because you have to have the all-black group, and maybe he'll get some use, you know? I mean, it's worth a fucking try. HBK withdrew in the back. They give each other a nice blowjob, if you know. Do you realize this? They're constantly, they suck each other off pretty good. Oh, you're the best. No, you're the best.
Talk about that later. I'll talk about it collectively when Dominic and Ray are out there as well. Because I just want to address this talking situation collectively.
Ruby and Liv are in the back in the Iconic show. How skinny? Did you see Peyton Royce this weekend?
Okay, I got notes on this. So yeah, she's all gaunt, like from the bodybuilding.
Holy fuck, her legs are fucking sticks.
She entered a bodybuilding contest at the weekend, and I said...
Yeah, the fitness competition.
Yeah, and I wrote down, like, that she... Because obviously she dieted for 3 weeks before this. I don't know what you... I think what you do is you take on a lot of water, like 5 liters a day or something at the start, and then you start to take it down, and then you don't have any fluids or foods for, like, the final 5 days. So when they say diet, they basically just mean you don't eat nothing for the 5 days.
They've got to be.
It's similar to a weight cut.
Oh, big time. Because she, in the pictures we saw, she's obviously, they spray tan the fuck out of you where you become another race. And it's funny because her tits are still there. Like, she is a fucking skeleton with round tits. And I was looking at her legs and I'm like, fuck, her legs are fucking needles. So I don't know how that is, like, fitness where you're like, you're not, like, muscled out. Like, her abs were out. But otherwise, it's just, this is how fucking skinny I am.
Yeah.
So, in the back, we see Baszler with the ugly horse women. The horse face women.
Well, this is the thing. And then they're doing their promo. And this all kind of ties together. And I'm saving it all for, like, one big, like, rant. Mm-hmm. But where Billy turns around and goes, who's that? And it just pans over to him. It's like amateur drama. It's like when you and your mates wrestled, and then one of you had, like, a fucking video camera.
Yeah,
like we used to do that. But yeah, it's backyard wrestling bullshit. It's backstage backyard wrestling bullshit. Where it's not right to have this on a show where the level of acting should be better for a proper TV show. Like, for someone just to pop their head up and go, "Who's that?" And then it pans over to
you. And that's how you get to them.
Yeah, and they're standing 8 feet away and not acknowledging you, and didn't hear you say, who's that? Like, that's fucking so stupid.
They could have walked off and had the camera follow them and then just stop on them. And the announcers be like, oh, shit, look who it is. You know? But they don't. So we get Ruby Riot versus Peyton Royce. They're doing a little conflict with Liv and Ruby, which I'm like, if this causes them to be mad at each other, it's the goofiest thing in the world, because obviously Ruby is pushed into Liv. It's not like she fucking clocked Liv, got in the ring, and lost. You know, so she gets pushed into Liv. Liv goes down. They throw Ruby in the ring. They drop her. And Peyton wins this fucking match. So now we get into Fight Club After Dark. And the one thing I did like, I said... Ziggler versus fucking Eric from the Viking Raiders. It was almost like they're trying to get Ziggler to what I think Bischoff was trying to put Ziggler in, because Bischoff said he had an idea for Ziggler because he had more of a Kurt Angle look for Ziggler, that he is a college wrestler and he can really fuck you up if you wanted to, and show more of that. So that's what he seems to be doing. And they had their little match, and he won and shit like that. And then, of course, Ivar comes over and fucking blasts him out of the ring. But I did like this part, that it was Ziggler being Mr. College Wrestler, which was interesting. We'll get
Raw. I still like Raw Underground. I still like the break that it creates from the wrestling, mm-hmm. especially in this third hour, which was fucking trash. This was one of the worst hours of Raw of the whole year. I didn't even understand what they were putting on this hour. This Raw was bad in general, but this third hour was awful from Dominic Mysterio.
And that's right now, Dominic and Ray. And you know what? They must listen to this show, Billy, because did you realize what they said when like Ray and Dominic were getting ready in the ring and all that shit? Did you hear what they said about why Joe did not interfere?
No, I didn't hear the reason.
They actually made a fucking comment. They said, oh, you couldn't interfere, otherwise you would have been fired. And I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? Out of nowhere. So people must have said, what the fuck? Why didn't Joe help? If he's always involved, he doesn't help for this. So they actually said that. And I'm like, okay, well, somebody's listening then. So what did you want to say with the Dom and the Mysterio? They call out Seth Rollins and kind of set up Rollins and Murphy by jumping out of the ring and getting some kendo sticks and beating the shit out of them.
They do that. But, I mean, just in generally prior to that,
mm-hmm.
the talking, the you talk, I talk. First of all, it's worse with these two because it's like they haven't seen each other at home. And I fucking hate it when they come out and talk like they didn't see each other at home.
And they haven't discussed this.
Yeah. It's like, what did you do? Like, how have you not spoken all day? Why would you not speak all day? It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. So first thing that goes through my head is the logical take that they're having conversations like they've not talked a week, where Mysterio turns around and goes, I've hurt, this hurt, I'm going to be in your corner. And there was no conversation about it at all. It's just absolute shit. The way they talk doesn't sound like the way real people talk. The way the Iconics talk doesn't sound the way real people talk. And even Drew and Sean backstage were terrible. It's like you're getting in stuff which is not natural to a real fucking human conversation at all. It's like when me and Cav talk, we don't recap every single thing that ever happened. It's like we don't turn around and go, oh, it's like, hey, like, you remember that time, like, when we met when we were in New Orleans? And then, remember that, like, the 73rd podcast that we did? And then in a conversation about this week, we keep it on the point of this week. This whole thing of, like, recapping your lives and then talking and then taking it in turns to talk and making it so clean and scripted, basically, it doesn't make any sense. And some of certain people are getting away from it. Like the week before, it didn't seem like Flair and Orton were doing that, but some people don't need to be put in these situations. Michaels and Drew could have had a much better conversation, I feel, unless of course they can't even work off notes, because we've seen that people get old, and we saw Kurt Angle couldn't do anything when he was there. And Michaels is getting into that territory. I almost feel like they kept him short. We're coming out with 7 minutes to go. It's like, maybe they don't trust Shawn Michaels anymore. But just, it's a show problem. It's a format problem. It's the fact that one of the biggest problems with this show is that Raw hasn't changed for 20 years. But superstars from the 90s evolved to Raw in 93, and Raw 93 to 95 changed to the Attitude Era, and mm-hmm. the Attitude Era then changed to this mass-produced show that we've seen. So taking snapshots every 2 years of the product from 88, 90, 93, 97, all these shots, it would have changed little bits and but at a time in terms of the way it was shot, in terms of the way it was produced, in terms of the way that we use backstage promos, in terms of the way that people talk. The snapshot of 2005, I would say, to now is exactly the same. These idiots think that they stumbled onto the perfect product and the perfect way, the perfect format, and have continued it on for the last 25 years. Well, sorry, not that long. The last 15 years. But it's not right. They're not right in doing that. It's so dated and it looks so fake that nobody knew could ever step into this and watch this. It's only for the people that have integrated it into their regular routine. Nobody knew Cav could watch this and get into it. It's not possible. It's too fucking, it's too rigid. It's too fake looking.
people who have watched it for years can't get into it. I know people who are stopping at this point that have watched it for years. Like, ah, I hear things here and there. You know, I'm in the loop, but I don't watch every week. And it's like,
But you understand what I'm saying about the snapshots of the evolution of those of that 90s period?
Yeah. So, as we get past this, we have this is where the last hour is like, why is this shit in the last hour? Because, combined, you get MVP poisoning Cedric in his ear. You get the six-man tag with Apollo's crew and the Heart Business, Hurt Locker over here. And by the end of this, Tozawa comes down. Or no, Cedric comes down. Sorry. Cedric comes down after a fucking match with a fucking... Shelton gets eliminated and he gets pinned and gets the 24/7 belt taken away. Just like with this 24/7 belt, I'm just annoyed by it always. He gets it back later when he fucking pins someone. So to get to the end of the show, you get HBK who wants to talk in the ring about what happened with Ric Flair and Orton. And I kind of half have it on. Like, listening, I went back and listened again because I was like, he didn't really say anything, did he? But just that Orton, you're an asshole, and you're going to pay for it one day, either by me or by Drew. And all of a sudden, of course, Orton comes out and RKOs Sean, which he RK'd his hair right off his head. This we both say. Are we both stunned by Sean's baldness?
Well, I have to say, like, I've been fishing around and everything, and this has been a good week for Shawn Michaels, because I've heard that that Rock's not going to be the only person who's going to be big in Hollywood. So even though he has to look this way, the fact that he beat out Danny DeVito and Kelsey Grammer to the real life adaptation of The Simpsons, where he will be Homer. Like, that's a cool thing for Shawn Michaels. Like, everybody's going to know who he is. And
are you referring to the three hairs he slicked back on the top of his head that you saw from behind?
That's exactly it. Because there is no way
that
anybody would choose to have that look unless they were playing the Homer Simpson in the new movie, because that is Homer's look. It's fucking trademarked. Like,
oh man.
And he'd actually had a product in there to slick those three hairs back, because they're all fucking shiny.
I don't understand how he's not buzzing his fucking head.
I don't understand how anybody has this look. And that's the only thing that made sense to me, that this guy is playing Homer in a fucking movie, because that's the first thing that came to my mind. It's like, oh my God.
I've been dying to see it too. And I was like, I hope that hat comes off. I was fucking dying for it, because
it's got to be easier just to take it off.
It has to be. And when you see him with a hat all the time, you know he's hiding all his head. You know, I mean, with the cowboy hat and now that baseball hat, you know that's all it is. He's hiding his fucking head. Because he's worn a hat one time in his fucking career when he had long hair. And that was after he won the title.
He may as well have kept the long hair. If this was the haircut he was going to go for, he may as well have kept the long hair. And I don't understand why he doesn't fucking have... This guy has about $40 million sitting around. Just go and pay $4,000 or $5,000 to get the plugs put in. I don't understand men that have this like mentality.
I would think he would give it a shot of all people, because he's clearly uncomfortable with the bald head. So you would think he would go through everything possible. I'm sure he's doing the cream and all that shit. But I mean, yeah, at that point, I think you'd be doing surgery, being like, fuck, try to get something going on. Jake the Snake got like fixed. You notice that? He's got like hair.
It's sad though. Like, I mean, it's the weird. The worst thing is that what music does he come out to?
Oh, I know. I've always thought the same thing. I'm like, why, when he's fucking way old, he's gonna be coming with this.
Yeah,
Mr. Sexy, like, and fucking.
Like,
getting old is fucking
It's gotta be fucking. I was thinking the same thing for him, for like when it's like really good looking people, that fucking fall from grace has to be the hardest thing ever, especially when it comes to a woman. Like, I mean, Sonny's turned into what she, you know, it's like, oh man, I used to be this. And Sean used to be Mr. fucking the heartbreak kid. And it's like, oh.
Well, I think they're still equal. They're still equal right now. Like, this evens them out.
I mean, you know what? I don't know. I think Sonny might be better looking still.
If he, like, he fixed that hair and fixed that eye, he'd be fine.
Yeah, I would even just say the hair. It's, he hit,
can you fix
there
that,
was a wall.
What is the eye? I don't get what is wrong with the eye? Like, how,
I don't know how it became, but I knew a chick that had the fucking eye, and she, another one I knew had it too, and all of a sudden the eye was straight, and I mentioned it. I said, what the fuck happened? And they were like, oh, they went in and fucking fixed it. Like, it's a tightening of some fucking tendons and shit. So they tightened it to straight the fucker because it just fucking drifts. It's not in space. So I don't know how the fuck he got it. I don't know, because he didn't always have that shit. And now he does. So, well, to finish that out, other than his bald head, Drew comes to help him. And he beats up Orton, chases him off. Orton shows back up, get chased off. And then he finally fucking catches Drew, which I like that. He didn't just show up and fucking run away. Like, he kept trying to fucking go back like a fucking hyena, trying to fucking get his prey, and he finally got him.
Yeah, I thought this was shit. I thought after what you did last week, to have Michaels come out there, cut a generic promo, you RKO him, you punt him. He doesn't sell it properly. This is Shawn Michaels, the best seller in history, who's doing this weird selling of this punt. Mm-hmm. Like, he stands right up. Then Drew and Orton have like a terrible like brawl where he gets clotheslined over the top rope. You don't clothesline somebody on this in this brawl. Like, you don't clothesline him over the top. Yeah, you throw him over the table and stuff, but it's like, after all this build and everything and how the intensity you built up, you wrestling fight with the clothesline over the top rope. That was fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. I hated that. And then Drew goes back to Sean and he turns around and he gets RKO'd, and that's how he finished. Like, that was so boring and so so just like paint by number. This whole show was like, fuck, we got one more show to do. We're ready for SummerSlam. We built the Mysterio match. We built the Drew match. We're ready to go. Now we got this one fucking show in. It's like the situation where they have Fastlane on the way to WrestleMania, which is always pointless, but it's their own fault. And it's their own fault as well because they didn't pace this out. There's stuff they could have done, but they didn't want to do anything else. So, or they couldn't think to do anything else. Mm-hmm. The whole thing with Ray coming out and Murphy and Seth come out, what do? Oh, you have gay fucking kendo stick fights that you've had for weeks. And then Drew and Orton do the most generic paint-by-numbers ending. And then the show is filled out with shit. Hardcore title change. I'm not going to call it 24/7. I'll call it what I want. Hardcore title changes. Hardcore title changes in the last hour. You've got fucking some gauntlet match coming on where Mustafa Ali and Ricochet buried even more. I thought Ali was going to be somebody. Like, he's only just returned, but he's getting squashed by Lashley, which is fine because Lashley's better than all of these people that he's involved with anyway. But the last hour was just so much fucking suffering and pointlessness, even to the point where you chuck Andrade and Montez Ford out. I couldn't believe what I was watching, where you've shoehorned this match into the what was the main event spot, I guess, in terms of if you consider the last match as the main event. It was mm-hmm. the last match, and you shoehorn that out there for a match. It was so much shit and filler all over the show, be it Natalya and Mickey, which was just an embarrassing comeback for Mickey James. I imagine that match goes on the free show on Sunday. They just do it again, and Mickey maybe gets the win, or at least lose clean, or at least people are watching it. I mean, I've never seen a match where someone came back and they didn't have ring entrances and no one watched it. And they were and the whole thing that they were not paying attention for was Rollins coming out there saying to Joe, who's your source that Rey Mysterio is going to be back on the show? What are you talking about,
dickhead?
Yeah,
who cares?
They advertise people all the time. There's no source. He phoned WWE and was like, hey, man, I'm becoming to work today, SA. Like, it's real fucking simple. They've advertised people all the time. There's no fucking source.
That was what was
involved.
Weird, too.
It's
He's
not
like,
a secret. Being advertised by the fucking showmakers, dickhead. It doesn't make, there's no source to look to find.
Yeah, it was like, who cares who said he's coming back? He's coming back. So what do you, what the fuck?
So dumb. Like, it's so, it was so painful, this Raw. And you said it wasn't as bad as any other. It didn't stand out as being as bad. It's so much worse than last week. Raw Underground is saving Raw. Like, this was a better Raw Underground than last week. But it's still turning out to be, there's like, you get the breaks where, for me, obviously, I watch it the next day, so I fast forward through. But then Raw Underground is a break away from the shit as well.
Well, let's fucking roll through a couple things because I have to fucking leave shortly. Fucking hour and a half fucking show we end up doing. So we're getting a new fucking set coming up on Friday, which I go, why? I get it because it's on fucking national television. They're trying to get a fucking rating. But shouldn't this be debuted at fucking SummerSlam? And it's only going to be Friday, SummerSlam, and Monday? And then we go back to this?
No.
Because they go, permanent. Oh, they just said, oh, this is for those days. They mentioned that it was 3 days. And I'm like,
no, permanent.
No, I would hope so. I mean, I'm very interested to see what the fuck this looks like and what this is going to be.
8 weeks. It's an 8 week deal for $450,000.
Jesus Christ. So you want to run down the card of fucking SummerSlam quickly?
Yeah, we'll run down the card, but I tell you what I'm going to do on my Patreon and I'm going to do it on a little bit, try to shoehorn it into Russo's YouTube channel as well.
Okay.
I'm going to do the betting odds and break down those odds, over on Russo's YouTube and on my Patreon as well. I'm going to do lots of SummerSlam stuff this week. People moaning at me for not pulling stories out of my ass. And that'll include a rundown of NXT TakeOver as well, which we're not going to do here.
Okay.
So we can do predictions. We got Drew Orton.
I would say Orton's got to fucking take this title just because I think they want to have Drew win the title when there's actually fucking people around.
I still think they'll run with Drew here because of all the media side of things and everything. And I don't think they want to interrupt the run. But I think we see a fucked up finish that leads to next week, then them doing this again.
Okay.
Bray and Braun.
I think Bray wins the fucking title from Braun because it's the third and it's finally the Fiend.
I think Braun wins this one. I think that they have sowed the seeds to keep it going, and I'm pretty sure Fiend's a babyface. And I think this is your, I think this is your main event for Hell in a Cell as well.
Okay.
Sasha, Oscar.
Oh boy, is it Sasha Oscar? Sasha, Oscar, fucking Bailey.
Both.
She gets them each. One after another.
Oh, you are really watching the show in like some low concentration zone.
I must be because I saw, and I'm like, I don't know why I thought it was just Bailey. Because I'm like, what?
You beat Bailey last week to get a shot at Sasha.
Okay. Right?
And then she won the Battle Royal too. She was like a surprise entrant.
So she's gets facing both title shots.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm playing Madden at the same time, okay? It's more important to me to win Super Bowls. Jesus Christ. I can't. You know what? I don't even know what to fucking think because they just got these fucking. Well, Sasha just got the title. So it's like Asuka's going to have two titles. You think she's going to fucking. You know what? Asuka wins both titles and now it becomes one title.
Oh, you wish.
I do. It should be one woman's title, the end.
Bayley's been losing a lot lately, so I think she wins, and I think Sasha loses.
See, I'm thinking it's one of those where, because Sasha was always the no belt chick and like supporting Bayley, and now I think it would be the opposite where Bayley doesn't have a belt, but it's not the same. Bayley's pissed off at fucking Sasha and jealous, like she can't support her because she has the title now.
I think.
you've already kind of set up for Shayna and Oscar, and I think you've also set up for Shayna and Oscar to have a tag match, even at the title shot the week after at the tag belts. So yeah, I think that's where you're going to go. I think the Raw belt just goes back to where it is, and then they end up losing the tag belts, and then eventually they'll have their match. I don't know when or where. Maybe Mania, if they can keep it going. Street Profits and Andrade and Garza, the worst built-up match in history.
I would assume Street Profits win this. If you poison a man and try to kill him, I think you get retribution, even though Zelina is not arrested for poisoning somebody.
I think just this might be out of desperation, but you got to get these belts off these fucking morons. I can't fucking stand them. My kid is annoyed by them. And you think that their level of tolerance would be much higher, but it isn't. MVP Apollo Crews.
Oh, man. I think Crews keeps the belt still.
Yeah, I think he gets out of this one and then loses that payback to Bobby Lashley, who's just been pinning him constantly. Mandy, Sonya.
We said we believe Mandy will shave Sonya's head. Well, cut it at least. She'll get a nice haircut.
And then Ray, not Ray, Dominic and Seth Rollins, which is like the most evenly bet match. It's like 50-50.
You know, you would think the good guys have to prevail, but it is goofy to go, oh, Dominic, who has had his first match ever, beats a world champion, multiple time champion. But I would assume Ray is helping and there's going to be nonsense. And with a street fight, you could have interference like crazy. So I'll go with Dominic.
This is tough because, like, you have to find a way to beat Seth Rollins so that he doesn't look bad. I think I reported over on the I'll just plug it here now. My website is thedirtysheets.com. It goes to my Patreon page. And one of the stories we had this week is Seth Rollins is leaving in a couple of months. He's got that baby time coming up that he already asked for that's been granted. So I think that he might leave at the end of this story. But I don't know if now is a little bit like too early for him to do that, or whether he needs to win to keep it going, or whether he can lose and then keep it going through that, in terms of now he's chasing revenge and whatnot. Maybe doesn't end up getting it. But
I mean, she's like doing what, January? He's got hella time.
December.
Yeah. Okay. He should leave in October if that's the fucking case. October, November.
Yeah, so I'll pick him here just because...
It's so funny because he's, like, taking the guy's eye out. He's caned the living fuck out of the kid, and they can't ever get justice on him? He always fucking wins?
Yeah, I think that, like, justice will come at the end, though.
Okay.
Whenever the end is, but the end will be when he's leaving.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. There's our fucking rundown and our recap and our preview. All in the same fucking boat. So everybody gets this on a nice Tuesday morning for your listening pleasure.
How long was it?
It's going to be an hour 15.
Can't be, because it says 1:16 on the thing. We spoke for about 10 minutes before.
I don't know about 10 minutes, but we got 1:14 right now. You can find all my nonsense at Lingus Mafia. That's Instagram. That's Twitter. That's a podcast. And you know, Billy is at his Dirty Sheets, and his Twitter is dirtysheets.com. If you want to tweet him like a crazy person and say that you messed up the dates on SummerSlam and have a big rambling message, you could do that as well. And Billy will reply to you in such.
I didn't mess up the dates. And what I said was, is that I was announced. I said on this day. So I said it because me and Russo recorded 2 days earlier. And I knew the Amway stuff was going to come out. So what I said on there was, I'm saying this today, as of today, Thursday, the whatever, the 15th, SummerSlam is going to be at the Amway Center.
See, what's good is we there's a fan who messages me and Billy and says if there's something messed up or he has a question about something. And the thing I do like about him, even though he come up with goofy stuff, when you corrected it, he's not big enough to not say he was wrong. So it's good. He's
Because I'm completely wrong.
I'm sorry. You're right. And see, that's it. That's the way to do it. You say I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Then all good. Don't fucking, you know, continue on.
I had this dickhead on the YouTube channel who put down. He goes, oh, he goes, thought it was going to be in the Northeast outdoors with some fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, it was dickhead, but like yeah. fucking. But it's like, that was last week. I mean, this is a situation. That's what they obviously wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get the story and say they can't do that and the reasoning behind it, which I explained over on Dirty Sheets when I explained this Amway story. You read my Amway story. It clearly says it at the top.
Yeah.
It says they're not going to be in Jersey. They you're allowed to have an event in Jersey with 500 fans, etc. But they can't get the insurance.
Mm.
And if they can't get the insurance, they're not going to fucking run the event because the shareholders won't let them. So that's why this old Amway thing caught. But nobody ever turns around and says, wow, that fucking you knew about the virtual fans and the Amway and everything they were doing fucking days before everybody else. They just turn around and go, oh, last week you said this. Well, yeah, but then this week I said this because last week it was this and this week it is this.
I love that like Dave is so behind. Like everyone fucking after you say it. Everyone reported and Dave is still hours after that. And he goes, this is what's going to happen. It's like, it's fucking new. He has the Amish Express. That's his fucking newsletter. The Amish Express. He is so fucking far and late behind everything.
Well, what with that Amish fucking email as well? That fucking Juno to tell me, give me your show reports at Meltzer@Juno.com or whatever.
It's everything's fucking behind with him. And I'm like, does he wake up and scroll through and go, okay, well, I could use these stories now? What the fuck? So, all right. Well, that's it for the show. We'll see you next week, as we always do. For Mr. Billy Bats, I'm Cat Manning.